We've been talking together about how we can be fully engaged in the most important relationships in life. And we started talking about being fully engaged with my walk with God. Then we talked about how to be fully engaged with my family. And this morning we're going to talk together about being fully engaged with my friends. You remember that we've used these pictures to talk about three different aspects, if you will, three different ways to look at what it means to be engaged. We have the couple who's engaged, which speaks of commitment. We have the students who are engaged in their subject, what they're learning, and that speaks of paying attention. And then we have the captain who gives the command, the lay in the course for the next destination, and then he gives the command, engage. And so we've seen in that picture the idea of action. And so to be fully engaged involves commitment, paying attention or focus, and taking action. This morning we're going to focus kind of on that last one, taking action, as I want to speak with you about being fully engaged with my friends. I'm going to give you five actions that you can take this week to be more fully engaged with your friends. Five steps that you can take, actions that you can be involved in that will help you be more fully engaged with your friends. I want us to start in Proverbs 27, and we're not going to camp out here long, really just as a jumping off point more than anything else. But I do want to direct your attention quickly to Proverbs 27 at verse 10. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, you'll want to look there. He advises us, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. Do not go to your relative's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a relative far off. Now understand, he is not saying don't turn to your family when you're hurting. That's not the point of the proverb. The proverb is, although written in a different time, in a different culture, it actually describes a reality that many of us experience today. For many of us, family are far off. They live in a different town, maybe a different state, perhaps a different country. And so what he's saying is, instead of only being connected to family, so you depend on them for everything, you also want to have relationships with your neighbors, your friends, so that when you need to turn to somebody, you don't have to wait a few days' travel to get to family, but you can turn to your friends who are close by all the time. And because friends are so important, he stresses at the beginning of that verse, don't forsake your friend or your father's friend. Why? Because when you forsake a friend, you lose a friend, then you don't have a friend. Right? Just like we talk to the kids, in order to make a friend, you have to be a friend. Well, the flip side of that coin is when you forsake a friend, you lose a friend. So don't forsake your friends. You need them. And you need them to be close by so that when you need that friend, they're there. Here are five actions that will help us to be more fully engaged with our friends around us. First, I want to put myself in a position to meet people. We need to make friends. And in order to do that, we have to put ourselves in a position where we can meet people. You need to be among people to make friends. You can't find godly friends in ungodly places, by the way. I know people who hang out in the wrong places and they travel in the wrong circles. And then they wake up one day and they say, well, nobody really loves me. Nobody really cares about me. all of my friends are gossiping about me, and it's just drama. And it's, well, one part of that is you're looking for friends in the wrong places. You want godly friends, you look for them in godly places. That makes sense, doesn't it? You position yourself to meet people, especially godly people, the kind of friends that you know are going to be good for you. And by the way, that's one of the great benefits of small groups. One of the reasons that we push small groups in our church is because that positions us to build those relationships that are so vitally important. We find ourselves in a group of people who want to connect in good, healthy, strong ways. And so when I become a part of a small group, that's just one of the many ways that I can position myself to meet people. I wanted to show you a verse out of Acts chapter 2. This is talking about the early church. You remember Acts chapter 2 is when it describes the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and just kind of filled the church. And in many ways, we understand that that's when the church was born. This is the very same chapter, so it's very early in the church life. And notice what it said. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So every day they would come together, all of the believers in that area would come together and have church. But then look at the next sentence. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You see, there was two levels of their relationships as a church. They all met together in the temple courts, but then they also went to various homes. And in various homes, they had dinner together. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so we see the importance of not just gathering together here, but the importance of having friendships beyond this place as well. Let's be honest. You can't really connect closely, personally, with someone in this setting. You know, part of the reason for that is you're all looking one direction. You're all facing this way. And so it's hard, it's difficult to have an opportunity to interact enough to build relationships here. That's why you want to look for other opportunities, small groups opportunities beyond that to connect with folks outside of this worship experience. I put myself in a position to meet people. The second action that we can take in order to fully engage with our friends is to provide encouragement. To provide encouragement. You know, I've noticed there are two types of people. One, those who add value to your life. They make you feel better, they motivate you, they challenge you. And then the other kind of people are those that just seem to suck the life right out of you. You know who they are. You've seen them. You're around some people and man, you just feel good. You're encouraged. You're lighthearted. You just feel positive. You're ready to go. You feel better about yourself. And then you're around other people and they're just so negative, so selfish. They just sponges. They just draw from you. Well, since there are those two kinds of people, I want to be careful that most people see me as the first kind, right? Don't you want to be the kind of person that makes others feel better and encouraged and motivated and challenged? The New Testament gives us an example of a guy whose name was Joseph. And Joseph earned a nickname. Have you ever heard of Barnabas? Did you know that Barnabas wasn't his name? In Acts chapter 4, verse 36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Joseph got a nickname. Joseph got a nickname. They named him son of encouragement because when they saw Joseph coming, they knew that he was going to bring encouragement. And nicknames are fun. Sometimes they have meaning. Sometimes they're no meaning at all. You know, we call people nicknames just to kind of connect with them. You know, whether your nickname is T-Bone or Coco Monkey or whatever it is, there's a connection with nicknames. Now here, Barnabas got a nickname because he earned it. He earned the name Son of Encouragement. That's the kind of nickname that I'd love to earn. You remember hearing of Jackie Robinson, the first black baseball player to play in the major leagues. Breaking baseball's color barrier, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium he played in. While playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. The fans went crazy. They began to ridicule him. He stood out there at second base, humiliated, while the fans jeered. Then shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. Pee Wee Reese put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced down the crowd. Eventually, the fans grew quiet. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. Who needs a hug this week? Are you going to be watching? Can you be the encourager that just might make a difference in somebody's life? Pee-wee didn't do that much. All he did was stand. He didn't even say anything. All he did was stand there. But for Robinson, it saved his career. Doesn't really take that much, does it? If you and I would commit that this week we're going to provide encouragement, I think we'd see that we become more fully engaged with our friends. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another. Build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. Keep encouraging one another. The third thing that we can do in order to fully engage with our friends, you're going to like this one. We're going to play together. Play together. We're supposed to enjoy life. We're supposed to celebrate the abundance of life. Just get together and have fun. Do stuff. Ecclesiastes 8 says it this way. I commend the enjoyment of life because there's nothing better for a person under the sun. Now understand, when he says under the sun, he's talking about within this fallen, messed up, mixed up human world that we live in. He's recognizing this is not all there is. There will be something better later. But for now, under the sun, in this fallen experience, there's nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink Dr. Pepper and be glad. That's what mine says. Is that not what yours says? Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of their life God has given them under the sun. Take time to play with one another, enjoy life together, and then when it's time to go back to work, you'll find that you're able to even enjoy that a little bit more. We play together, interact, find time to enjoy life together. We'll be more fully engaged with our friends. Number four. Another way to be more fully engaged is to pray specifically for your friends. Pray specifically, and that word specifically is so important. It's not just enough to say, God bless my friend Bubba. How are you going to know if God ever answered that prayer in a positive way? How are you going to know if he ever blessed Bubba? There's no way to know if that prayer ever did anything. Instead, you say, God, heal Bubba because he's sick today. Or you say, God, help Bubba to understand how to get along with his boss better. Or you pray specifically. And then when you start to see things happen, you can celebrate with Bubba. You can celebrate with your friend. Say, man, I've been praying for you, and now look what's happening. You pray specifically for your friends. And don't make this mistake. We all make this mistake, so be careful. In the moment, we're sincere. And we say, I'll pray for you. And when we say that, we mean it as a word of encouragement. And we're sincere at the time. But then as soon as we say, I'll pray for you, then we get on about our business. I almost said rat killing. We get on about our business. And we forget to pray. We forget the promise we made to our friend, I'll pray for you. So be careful. What I've started doing is when I tell somebody I'll pray for you, I pull out my phone and I look on either the reminders or the notes and I remind myself to actually follow through and pray for that person and a specific reason. Pray specifically for your friends. In his letters to the churches, Paul was one of the best for reminding them how he was praying for them. He constantly prayed for his friends in those churches that he started or those that he ministered to. And in Romans chapter 1 at verse 9, we get a great example of that. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. Constantly remember you in my prayers at all times. What a great example for us to follow. If we're going to engage fully with our friends, we're going to pray for them specifically. The fifth step, the fifth action that we can take to more fully engage with our friends, pursue an opportunity to talk about God. Look for a chance to talk about the most important thing in your life. Have you thought about where your friends stand with God? Have you loved your friends enough to really even care where they stand with God? A real friend would talk about the things that are most important to him. So be ready to talk about your faith, especially if your friends are lost. And somebody just said, wait a minute, I don't have any lost friends. And if that's the case for you, I'd say work on that. We all need to have lost friends. They don't need to be our inner circle, our closest friends. But we need to be so connected with the world around us that we have friends who don't know Jesus. And so I'm asking those best friends who are believers, do you talk with them about your faith? Or those friends on the outside of the inner circle, those other friends who don't know Jesus yet, are you looking for opportunities to share with them the most important thing in your life? 1 Peter 3 and 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Be ready to tell your friends about Jesus. Are you ready? That takes some preparation. You got to think it through ahead of time. What does Jesus mean to me? So now I can tell you when you ask, when you look for that opportunity. Five steps or five actions that you can take this week to more fully engage with your friends. Put myself in a position to meet people. Provide encouragement. Play together. Pray specifically for my friend. And pursue an opportunity to talk about God. We're going to stand and sing a hymn together. Our hymn is 415. And as we sing together, if the Lord would call you to trust in Christ, if He would call you to give your life to Him, I'm going to invite you to come and let me pray with you about that. Could it be that you're not ready to talk to your friend about Jesus because you haven't talked to Jesus yet? Could it be that you're not right with Him, so you know you can't be right with your friends yet? I'm going to encourage you, if you need to trust in Christ to give your life to Him this morning, come and let me pray with you.